everybody. Welcome to another Psalm Session. You're joined here today by Miles and over on the phone.
Joined by Brent here over on the phone. Is that my middle name?
That was a big gap. Like I said, I'm joining us on the phone, and there was this like awkward silence that I like normally I would edit those out, but that was a big one. What happened?
It's about setting it up.
Oh, I see. You need like intro music
for the big moment.
Like, here's a question for you, Brent. If you were a WWE, I guess you have to say WWE. It'll always be the WWF for me. But if you were a WWE wrestler, what would your intro theme music be?
Oh boy, that's a good one. Well, I mean, this will come as no surprise to you or anybody else around me, but I would probably say it would be Right Now by Van Halen.
Ooh, yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that there's a lot of Van Halen on your summer playlist, eh? Like when you're hanging out, grilling, just chilling by the pool, is it just nothing but Van Halen?
Well, no. There's a nice, healthy dose of the Mighty VH in there for sure. But you know, I've got some other stuff on the go.
Like what? I've only ever known you to be like completely engrossed in like 70s, 80s hair metal.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's not deny this. We don't run from this. We embrace it. It's the truth.
It's the truth. And I'm not saying there is absolutely nothing wrong with 70s, 80s hair metal. No. I love it too. No. But so come on, hit me. What's on your summer playlist?
No, well, here's the thing. Just before I get into my, one of my favorite little summer playlists, there's a quote by Alex Van Halen, who said years ago, back in the early 80s, his little quote was, "There's a little bit of Van Halen in all of us. All we're trying to do is bring it out."
There you go.
So there it is. I've got actually a fun, I've got a fun few lists that I've been adding to and messing with a little bit. I've got one that I'm trying to give creative names to them all too, right?
Okay.
So I've got one called The Big Chill, which is, there was the movie The Big Chill, right?
Yeah.
But it's mostly like just what I think are like big epic tunes, but they're like super chilled, like evening sitting on the back deck kind of song. So I've got stuff like on the Big Chill playlist has like Big Log from Robert Plant from his solo catalog. I've got on there a song called Temptation from a band called The Box.
Oh, not the Tea Party?
No. Temptation by The Box. I got a little bit of Buffalo Springfield on there, you know, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And then it still kind of creeps into some of the other stuff, but it's chilled in, there's like a Velvet Revolver song on there, Fall to Pieces.
Nice.
So just a cool, like chill summer evening mix. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Spotify has a whole thing where at the end of the year, they give you this playlist called Your Top Songs of the Year. So I just actually opened mine right now, because as you're talking, I'm like, I'm kind of curious to see. I don't know if I've ever really dug into this, but yeah, like when I look at this, like I've got Cleopatra, Grandson, Miles Kennedy, Glorious Sons, Barnes Courtney, Royal Blood. And it's funny, when I look at this list of music, I can like mentally map exactly what was going on in my life at the time that I was listening to these songs last year.
Cool.
Like I remember, even if it's just like Black Smoke Rising by Greta Van Fleet, I can remember being on my motorcycle, like riding through like Fergus or some small town, and I've just got Greta Van Fleet blaring. And, you know, I remember Barnes Courtney being at the concert with my wife. And like, this is actually pretty cool that you can kind of look back, and it just shows you the power the music holds, right? Like the memories that I have are super vivid. Monster Truck, you know, like I'm instantly brought back to last year's festival. Like it's pretty cool what music can do for us. And I don't know, you're going to have to share that playlist of yours with me, because I might need to, you know, put that on when I'm out there grilling away.
Yeah, I know. I will. Now, conversely, my top playlist, if I were to look at it, it would pretty much be
just Van
every
Halen
song ever sung by Van Halen. But, hey, you know, it is what it is, right?
It is what it is. I've been trying to listen to, especially around the house, like a lot more, I don't like saying different, because it's not different, but things like I've been getting my daughter into Ray Charles a lot lately, and Buddy Guy, and you know, just sort of older blues and jazz and some R&B and just a little bit of different things, so that my house, you know, she's really listening to a lot of the newer modern poppy stuff. And I just want to make sure that she knows, like, there is a spectrum of music out there to appreciate. And she'll find her way through it, but I'm going to ram it down her as much as I can in the meantime.
No, no, you have to kind of lead the horse to water a little bit, right? As it were. And I think, too, you know, let's not forget the Canadian content. I've been actually deliberately listening to more Canadian artists. As,
sure.
You know, we've been having some great interviews with some past episodes, Ian Thomas and Biff Naked and John Angus from The Trues, and even a guest that we have on today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you'll excuse me for a second, I'm just going to go for a soda and I'll be back. No,
see,
yeah,
you
no.
Did there.
See what I did there? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got, when we started this podcast, I actually didn't think that we would ever be getting the names that we are now talking about. And today, is one of these rare occurrences where we have, Juno Award-winning Canadian icon, Kim Mitchell.
This is rock royalty right now.
Absolutely. And the fact that he's Canadian is just like, you know, maple syrup on the pancakes, eh? Like, it's, I was going to say icing on the cake, but I figured I had to go a little more Canadian with it. Yeah.
Take off.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go over to the phone and welcome our guest, Kim Mitchell.
Thank you for having me. That's quite a nice intro. You should hear what my friends call me.
Oh no. Well, you've earned every ounce of that moniker. And you know, I'm going to jump right into it here, because one of the reasons why I think you've earned that moniker. So you were recently inducted into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame alongside other royalty, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, Gordon Lightfoot, so many more. How did that feel to be recognized for all your work in songwriting?
Well, first of all, the induction hasn't happened because of COVID.
Right.
So, but I'm not sure when that's going to happen. I thought, you know, we could do it virtually. Who knows when it's going to happen? But they have said it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about the company that I'm in, I sit there. The first feeling that came to mind was, this is a joke, right? Because it was a female had followed me and says, I live in your neighborhood. Can I take you for a beer? And I kind of started to think it was a date.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. And then we get there and she goes, well, I'm with SoCan Songwriting Hall of Fame and we want to induct you this year. And I was like, yeah, right. This is a joke. But then the next feeling was, holy smokes. That's a pretty dysfunctional bunch in there. So it is, you know, when you think about it in a beautiful way, I think that's what makes songwriters what they are, is each one there has dealt with something, either be it, you know, emotionally or some kind of addictions but that's our fuel.
Yeah.
To write the material. So in a way I was like, wow, I kind of feel like I'm you know, in kindred spirits here. Because I'm just as functional as dysfunctional as they are.
I love it. Well, go ahead, Brent.
But it is. Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, you have your head down your whole career and you're working hard. And then every once in a while you lift it up and you get something like this, like you mentioned in your intro, Juno Awards.
Yeah.
I don't have Juno Awards in my house. I think I saw one at my kids at my son's house, one of them, but I don't even know where they are. And Gold Records and Platinum Records, I gave them away to charity auctions and stuff like that. So I just want you to know I'm not that guy who has an ego wall in his house.
No, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was a question that I actually have for you. Is I read about that you gave away your trophies and some of your golds, and you know, why didn't you want those around, and what kind of fueled the decision to give those away?
Well, people ask, do you have anything for a charity auction? And I would a couple times I did it. The first times I went, well, I have gold and platinum albums. I said, well, we'd love that. You know, they would fetch a fetch a good price. And so I gave it away because I thought, well, I don't need a trophy on my wall to tell me how much that album sold. So I thought I would do it. Now, here's the weird thing. I'm going to say maybe 10 years ago, I was at a garage sale in a neighborhood, and one of them was for sale for $5.
No, it was not.
Yeah, it was. And my girlfriend at the time said, you should tell her, you know? And I was like, no. I said, I wouldn't give him $5 for it.
Wow. That's amazing.
What are the chances, right?
Look, if you want to send me a gold record, I'm not going to stop you. If that's what we're doing now, I'll just send you my address and we'll get that taken care of.
Sure. Truth be told, though, I do have one.
Nice.
It's a triple platinum, Shaken Like a Human Being.
Yes.
And that was the one that won album of the year at the Junos and stuff. So, and that was quite nice. So I kept that. I remember one of the Junos was given to me by Rod Stewart.
Nice.
And of course the next day, married at the time, all my wife's girlfriends were calling me. They wanted to know things. Nobody congratulated me. Just went, hey, did you get to talk to Rod? Like, what's he smell like? Does he, you know, when you shook his hand, like, is his skin soft? And I'm like, hey, how about a little congratulations?
That's so
great. I think I'm the guy who won the thing, right? let's shift gears a little bit, Kim, here. It's been 5 years since you finished about an 11-year run as afternoon drive host on Q107. Can you share some of the highlights of your time on air and almost, you know, kind of being on the other side of the microphone, if you will?
Yeah, that's a good question. Being on the other side of the microphone, an interesting point of view, interviewing celebrities Sammy Hagar to Alice Cooper to Roger Hodgson, phoners with Robert Plant. And I think I would relate to them as musicians a little bit better, and they enjoyed speaking with me. So I think I brought something a little bit different than the usual questions to them. Most of them would relax around me right away. Remember Andy Summers of the Police, his handlers were saying, do not ask him to play anything. And I had a guitar sound all set up that sounded exactly like the Police. And I picked the guitar off the wall and went, hey, how do you play Every Breath You Take? And I sort of said, is it kind of like this? And as soon as he heard the sound, he was like, oh, no, give me that. And then he showed me how it was done. So right away, that was a plus that I enjoyed. But I loved radio. I thought the first thing you notice in radio is that there's a craft to it, and we all have to work. You have to work hard at anything to do it well. And for the listeners, they may think, oh, I can do that. And it's, you can, but it's difficult. There's a craft to it. And it was so nice to have some of the heavies in radio say, hey, I've been listening to you. I can tell you've really worked hard. And I did for the first year or so, because, you know, there's so much hate email coming in to like, get off the air, you suck, you know. And, you know, I couldn't disagree with them. So I just wanted to become something that was entertaining in the afternoon. So I had a good time. It was a good 11-year run, and they treated me real nice.
Oh, I love it. And you've kind of had this career, which has been spanning, you know, roughly 40 years, and songwriting, touring, collaborating, recording, your radio bits. Like, what parts of your career do you look back on and you truly just love them? And, you know, what parts would you kind of leave at the side of the road if you could?
Well, there's a few little stories I'd leave at the side of the road, but most of it's been a wonderful journey. I'm a lucky guy to get to strap a guitar on something that I loved doing ever since I was about 12 years old, 13 years old. And I got to sort of leave home at 17 and go pursue that. And it worked out okay. So specific things that happened to me, kind of highlights, were, you know, meeting Eddie Van Halen and Sammy Hagar in the dressing room, riding in a Volkswagen Beetle, a yellow Volkswagen Beetle, with Joe Walsh, He picked me up at the airport once because he was gonna produce my Rockland album, and his bud and him showed up at the airport. He had a bud with a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. And the reason why I say a Volkswagen Beetle is because in the back were guitars.
Nice.
So I'm sitting in the middle. Joe Walsh is on my right, the driver on the left. Those cars are small, and I'm in the middle with a guy shifting the gears, and they're taking me to like the presidential suite at the Peabody Hotel. So, you know, stuff like that. It's like, this is surreal.
Yeah.
Because he was gonna, but then again, you know, I saw him. Oh, we played a festival together, and I walked up to him and I said, "Do you remember me at all? Like, I came to Memphis and you picked me up, and we were gonna produce my Rockland album." He's at the catering table. He's picking up like a muffin or something. He looks at me, he goes, no, sorry.
He goes,
but you know, in all honesty, he goes, those are crazy times back then. I was in a different state of mind. I was altered state of mind. And then he was quite nice. He paused again. He went, well, how you doing anyway? I said, hey, listen, we don't have to have small talk about it. It was a big moment in my life.
I love it.
You know, Miles is.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Kim. Miles is, you know, sort of laying out the breadth of your career and all the different things that you've accomplished and you've been involved in. And we love when we have the chance to ask artists who have had the career journey that you've had, advice that you can offer for those kind of emerging artists and younger artists that are starting out. To, you know, to hopefully get to that point where they can ride in the car with Joe Walsh and meet Eddie Van Halen too.
Sure. That's a great question. You have to find your 12 notes and make them yours. There's only 12 notes in our music, and make them yours and take the word, I want to make it, right out of your vocabulary, because it really is just about finding your music, enjoying the 12 notes and doing what you love to do. Because I always try to tell young artists, think of yourself as an aspiring NHL hockey player. You're going to work hard and you're going to play hockey, but not everybody's going to make the NHL. You can still have fun and really enjoy playing hockey. Because at the end of the day, whether you're in a garage in front of a couple of friends who are drinking whiskey, or whether you're in front of 17,000 people, 20,000 people, when you connect with other musicians and start transmitting it, as what a Brian Adams or a Kim Mitchell, Tom Cochran, or whoever is going to feel, you're going to feel that same thing. It's just at the end of the day, the numbers will be different. So that's kind of the advice. And also, if you're recording, record from 11 in the afternoon or 11 in the morning till 5 at night, and walk away from it, because you will be making better music, you know, starting at 11 at midnight. You're still working on something. Always grab the first one or two takes. They'll always have more emotion in them, and you can go back the next day and do a couple more takes, one or two, and you know, eventually you're gonna find some magic. So that's kind of the advice, is sort of just take the word making. Oh, how can my son make it in the music business? Well, chances are he's not going to, he or she is not going to. So, but he or she can enjoy and love music.
I love that. That is absolutely great advice. And you know, this is coming from somebody who, you know, you've had those hits, and those hits are still going strong. And this is what I want to ask you about, because just about, it must have been 2 or 3 weeks ago, Spotify released their Essential Summer Hits playlist. On it, you will find artists like Drake and Ed Sheeran, The Eagles, and Kim Mitchell. Go For Soda and Patio Lanterns, of course, have made it onto Spotify's Essential Summer Hits. Now, why do you think that those tunes of yours have had such staying power?
Because when you're writing, include your audience. You've played in front of an audience, hopefully, by the time you're making records, and include your audience. And I don't mean do something, I don't mean cater to them, like in the way the business would go, well, we need this kind of song, we need this kind of, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you're a musician, you know what your audience is thinking. You've seen them respond to stuff. You know what they do. You know how they got to the gig. You know what they're driving. You know where they live, you know. And so include them. And that's all I really did. And, you know, the most important thing is those songs, at the time, I had no idea what they were going to do or not do. The whole idea for me, recording and writing, is the journey of that. Once it's done, I've always had this expression, once a record's done and mixed and mastered, I might as well just take it out back and shoot it. Because you have no control over what people are going to think of what. And I can honestly say that I never wrote stuff to sort of go, oh, I need to get something on the radio. Or, oh, I need to do this. It was just, I thought about my audience. I thought about me and went, I'm going to speak to them as if we're just in a room together hanging out.
I love that.
Yeah. Cool. So let's stick with Gopher Soda for a second, and then let's fast forward to present time, because there's some new music imminently on the horizon. If you could jam Gopher Soda with another artist, or another artist was going to do a cover of that song, who would you love to see cover that song?
Oh, Gopher Soda. Let's see. Well, there's a Canadian band called Toot. They do a better job than I did on record.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those, a couple of those guys are from Slash's band, a couple of Canadian
bands. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They're an amazing sort of tribute band, but I heard them do Gopher Soda. I was like, are you kidding me? This is way better than I can play it. okay, so basically, I guess some serious rock guitar players. Gopher Soda. That's a great question. I'm kind of stumped on that. You know, the first guy that comes to mind would be one of the older classic guys like Van Halen. I would love to play, would have loved to play with him. Gopher Soda. I honestly can't. Any artist would be fun.
I love it.
It really would be.
Kim, yeah,
I honestly, you know, sometimes I thought, boy, if I knew Justin Bieber, I'd love to do a song with him. And I say that because I think collaborations are really healthy in the music business, and I don't think we do enough of them in Canada. Yeah, hip hop artists do, but you know, the guy has so much talent. You know, people really were down on him for a long time as a kid growing up, but he's got a serious voice and a serious talent going on, and gives of his time to, you know, good things as well. I thought it'd be nice to not only meet him, but to like do a track with him or play guitar on it or something.
I would listen. I'd listen to that. Yeah. Absolutely. I would,
you know, I will tell you a story about Gopher Soda though. Do you remember a quarterback named Doug Flutie?
Yeah,
sure do.
Okay, yeah. Doug Flutie and his brother Darren had a band, and they did Gopher Soda. So picture, here you are, you're you know Doug now, and you're at a football game, Argos football game, and you're in the stands, and they start to play the Flutie's version of Gopher Soda. And as they're playing that, the popcorn beer guy's walking up the aisles, he knows who I am, he looks at me and he goes, hey, Kim, who butchered your tune?
No.
And I said, the quarterback. And he goes, oh, man, I hope he never stops his day job.
That's excellent.
Just, yeah.
That is absolutely. Tell me about Patio Lantern. Now, that one, you almost kind of left that on the cutting room floor, didn't you?
I did. I wanted to. The song kind of drove me nuts from top to bottom.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had an old Ford van with so many kilometers on. I used to drive around, and the stories that truck could tell, I would never repeat some of them. But you know, here we are with Pai Dubois and myself in the van, and I think I was going to my management office, and he was getting a ride down to some place in Toronto, and he would always carry lyrics with him. He was my lyricist. He goes, I have this poem, this lyric. He says, I've been hesitant to give it to you, because it's a little different, it's kind of straight. And so I said, well, just you know, leave it with me. And he got out of the van, and I'm parking to go to my management office. And I pick up the sheet of paper, and I look, and I went, whoa, well, I kind of like this. And I had my guitar in the back of the truck. I pulled it out, sat in the chair in the back seat, and I wrote the verses to it right there in my van.
That's cool.
And we didn't really have a chorus yet. He just sort of had the verses. And then, but it was just, when it came time to record it, had a really hard time tracking it. I sang it for 3 days straight. I was going, I can't get a handle on a delivery with this. It just, you come into the control room and listen to it and you go, no, that's not it. And this is a day and age before you could do anything with technology, right? So it just, and then mixing, it was hard. And then I thought, okay, two songs had to come off the album. We had too many songs. And the record, I told my record company, I said, take Patio Lanterns off, man. I said, if I never hear that song again, you know.
And look, now it's happened, a Spotify yeah. Essential summer hit. It's, you know, here, I don't even recall what year Patio Lantern came out in, but here we are in 2020 and it's still making the essential summer yeah. hit. Like it's funny. I played Go for a Soda.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, everybody loves it. It's a hard song. Although I will say on guitar, I personally do not love it. I've tried to learn that song for about 8 years and I just can't get it. Okay. It's I'm actually giving up. It's I'd love to play it, but it's just not happening. So if it's you could go easy. Ahead and it's write an easier easy. Version for me, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that.
yeah. I mean, are you talking about the verse part? Their own bad, bad.
Yeah.
That's just a little riff. I mean, you can figure that out. So, you know, send me your email address and I'll send you a little clip of me playing.
Nice. I will do that. And it's funny. I played Go for a Soda the other day for my 11-year-old daughter. And I said, we're about to interview this guy. I need to know, like, what do you think of this tune? And she's listening to it and she's getting all into it. And the song ends and she goes, I really, really liked it. That was a cool song. And then she goes, I just have one question. And I went, yeah, what's that? And she goes, what's a soda? And I was like, oh, pop. Yeah. It's a pop. But that, you know, might as well go for a pop. Doesn't sound as good. It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. It's an American word.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But she loved it, and I will firmly agree that it deserves its place on the essential summer hits. Absolutely.
Well, okay, Dad. Good job.
let's talk about some new music coming out. I think tomorrow is a release day for you, if I'm not mistaken. So by the time our listeners hear this episode, you'll have some new music out on the airwaves.
That's right. I just got a visit. I had a bunch of sort of different stuff, more in the line of like All We Are, Easy to Tame, not the I Have a Wild Party rock and roll dude. It was kind of like those two sides of me. And I had a bunch of that stuff written, and I had the demos of it on a USB key. And Greg Wells, a guy who was in my band at 17, went on to Los Angeles to produce all kinds of amazing artists and has had huge success, from Keith Urban to One Republic to Pink to Katy Perry to all kinds of stuff. He visited me after a health scare, and I said, here, man, I'm just going to give you this USB key of shame. If you got any advice, if you have some time. And he messaged me in a few weeks and just like, please come to Los Angeles. I want to record this stuff. This is a side of you that needs to be exposed more. It's kind of been, you know, swept under the carpet with the rock and roll duties and the lager ales and Go for Sodas, he said. So that's what we did. And I'm excited about the songs. They sound fantastic. I had a great time playing them. And obviously, being in Los Angeles, it's a very creative place. The whole city vibrates with the arts. You're either an actor or something to do with entertainment. And it was a lovely place to be. To be recording some of this, so I'm excited. Yes,
very cool. And that
and,
is
and the song, the first song though is a song called Wishes, and it's kind of timely because it was just a poem I read many, many years ago, I never pick up a book of poetry and randomly open up this book. I don't even know where it was. It was a dentist's office or something. And the first thing I saw was this poem called Wishes. And I read it. I went, wow, I love this. I love this verse. And ordered the book and got it and wrote the song from the poem. But I realized quickly, the poem itself isn't making the whole song, and I need to embellish it with other parts and a chorus and all kinds of stuff. So it took quite a long time to get that together, but I'm really excited about the song.
And that is coming out June 26th, yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So Brent is right. So once this airs, that will be out. And, you know, hopefully
when
maybe...
When does this air?
Hopefully next week is what we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So yeah, out. We'll... It is out. Yeah, go check it out now. We've been chatting with Juno Award winner Kim Mitchell, and Kim, we said we were going to take up, you know, 20-30 minutes from you, and that's what we've done. So I'm going to say just thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully real soon, once we're allowed to do so again, we're going to see you back on the stage at the Burlington Sound of Music Festival, because I know I can speak for our listeners and Brent and I when I say that we'd sure love to have you there.
Well, I love that festival and I've been to it a couple of times, and just they do it right. And it's just so nice down on the water to see all those people, families and everything having such a great time.
So, absolutely. So, yeah, we'll get you there in 2021 and we can you can give me a guitar lesson on how to play
Gopher
Soda. Yeah.
You're on, man.
I love it.
Patio lanterns, I
thought. Or sorry, patio lantern. Yeah, I'm reading my notes here. Yeah, patio lantern. You can give me a bit of a private lesson. I'd love that.
No problem, man.
All right, well, Kim, thank you so much for your time. You go back to your day. We look forward to hearing those tunes when they hit, and by the time this airs, we will have loved those tunes. And thank you for continuing to bring us new music. We sure do appreciate that as well.
Well, thank you. It's nice chatting with you both.
Likewise.
Thanks, Kim. Great to chat with you.
All right, take
bye-bye.
Care, Kim. Bye-bye. Yep. All right, well, there we are chatting with Kim Mitchell. Yeah, wow. Like, that guy, I loved his story. You, sir, must have been, like, ear to ear. I don't know how you didn't jump in with some kind of Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, because I think he mentioned Sammy at least three times, and Van Halen twice, and, yeah, this, how you didn't jump in with something about those guys. I'm proud of your restraint, Brent, is what I'm trying to say.
Listen, I'm showing mad respect to Kim Mitchell. That guy is an icon, and it was awesome to talk to him. But kind of fun too to have a couple of Sammy Van Halen references in one of our podcasts that I didn't even initiate.
You didn't initiate. I know, and we would have like been a new record. We would have done an entire podcast without them mentioned. But then Kim Mitchell had to go and do it.
There you go. Well, Kim actually opened for Sammy on one of his solo tours about 7 or 8 years ago at the former Molson Amphitheater, now Bud Stage. And I was there front and center to see that show.
Very nice. Very nice. I love the stories that he's telling, and, you know, the Beatle with Joe Walsh and how Joe didn't remember him. That's great. But yes, you know, I mean, we've all seen Joe Walsh, and it's of no surprise that back then he has little memory. Yeah, we'll leave it at
understandable.
That.
You know what really stood out for me is, you know, when we talked to him about career advice for young musicians, he said something almost identical to what Ian Thomas said when we had him on the show a few episodes ago, and that was, if you're doing this with the goal to be famous, then you've set the wrong goal.
Yeah. Just
get out there and do it and things will happen for you.
Yeah. Right? And you know what? And even thinking back on John Angus McDonald of the Trues, and, you know, he said something similar, and being kind of a younger guy in this industry, like he said, like, we had no idea we were going to be famous. And I think a common thread that's come from people who are saying those kinds of things is, you can tell they love and respect their fans, and it's
well. And all three of them are humble Canadians.
Yeah,
so let's just throw that in there.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely, absolutely, and yeah, you know, it shows when an artist really loves and respects their fans from the stage, because you can tell that, you know, they might have played that song 52,000 times, but they know for you, this is the time you're hearing it, and this is when you want to hear it, and they play it just for you. Like I love that. I love when you experience that from the stage. And, you know, on the flip side is when you see those bands that they just don't want to be there and you're watching them and they're just putting in the motions and it's tough to get through. And I've been to a couple of those concerts, but I will not name names.
Gotta love the music, man. You just gotta do it and love
it. Gotta love it. That's right. What I love is everyone who has been continuously listening and subscribing and following and doing all that fun stuff to our Somme Sessions. We still have a great lineup to come. So please keep on doing it. Keep on listening. That is all the time that we have for today. From myself, Miles, and over there on the phone,
Brent, over here on the phone.
Oh, boy. Every time. You all take care. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you real soon. Take care.
See you soon.